Did you know that your Wi-Fi router could be limiting your internet speeds, especially if it's more than 5 years old? For setup tips on how to get the best out of your NBN connection, visit nbn.com.au/checkyoursetup.
You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hello, welcome to the SBS On The Money podcast. I'm Raina Sarumpayat and it's Tuesday the 4th of August, a day the Australian share market rose 1.4%. I'll have more on that with Clive Magucciu of State Street Investment Management, but first let's talk house prices. Now, researchers at Domain say the property profit boom of the past decade is starting to show its first signs of weakness. The number of houses sold at a profit in the first half of this year is slightly down compared to the previous 6 months, while unit profitability has remained steady. Even so, sellers are still walking away with record gains, with the median resale profit for houses topping $450,000 nationally and $230,000 for units. For more, On The Money's producer, Stephanie Youssef, spoke to Domain's Chief of Economics and Research, Dr. Nicola Powell.
Profitability is only down slightly and homeowners are still making record profits. Why do you think it's an early indication of fatigue and what's driving it?
Profitability is really a lag of where prices are moving. And I think what this shows is the first cracks are emerging in a slowing down of profitability. And when we think about tenure for Australia wide, it sits at about 9 years. And so ultimately, most homeowners have been in their homes for long periods of time. When you're looking to resell your home, you know, you've ridden the waves of multiple property price cycles. But we have got the market in a downturn. It's being led by Sydney and Melbourne. And I think that is starting to flow through now into the proportion of homes actually now reselling for a loss. And that has made a marginal nudge upwards.
Can you talk a bit more about the capitals that are underperforming?
We certainly have seen that Sydney and Melbourne are the two markets that have seen that uptick in loss-making resales. I mean, the vast majority of homes are still reselling for a profit, but we have started to see a slowdown in that profitability. It's particularly as well units in Melbourne. You know, you've got more than one in four units reselling at the moment for a loss, and also Canberra. Canberra has one of the highest proportions nationally of loss-making resales, which really reflects the more modest conditions not only Melbourne has seen, but also Canberra in recent years.
On the other hand, there are some markets like Perth and Brisbane that continue to deliver profits for nearly all sellers. What's driving those markets to outperform the rest of the country?
We've got record profitability in markets like Perth, Adelaide and Brisbane, and this really reflects the market conditions that we've seen over the past 5 years. You know, when you've seen these markets pretty much double over a five-year period, really reflecting strong population growth, tight levels of supply, high levels of demand, really translating into strong rates of price growth, what you've got is those homeowners who are reselling this year are really benefiting from the past 5 years of growth.
So you said that we're seeing the first cracks. How long do you think it could take for the market's softness to fully flow through to resale profit figures?
When you think about the average tenure, which sits at around 9 years for Australia, what we've got at the moment is today's sellers are really benefiting from years of accumulated growth, which means that they are reaping the benefits upon resale. Profitability tends to gradually decline. It's not a sudden movement. And I think now we've got our market, many markets in a downturn, particularly Sydney and Melbourne, that will take some time to flow through. But I suspect we will continue to see that profitability margin nudge downwards as time goes on.
Do you expect it to continue declining over the next 12 months or more?
Given the fact that we are expecting property prices to continue to fall, particularly over 2026, which is where we think the deepest price falls will be materialised, I think it's realistic to assume that we'll probably see a sliding of profitability. So that means we might see a slight uptick in homes being resold at a loss. It's likely to be concentrated more so in the unit sector than it is for houses, because traditionally that is what we tend to see. But I think the flip side of this is, What you tend to find when prices go into a downturn, sellers start to hold back. And this concept of they don't want to sell when prices are falling or don't want to sell when they're not getting the right price, what they think their home is worth, that in itself also helps to stabilize the market. And that will eventually help to stabilize short-term price fluctuations, but it will also help to stabilize loss-making resales as well.
For Australians who are thinking about selling or buying in the next 12 months, what's the advice?
I think in today's market conditions for sellers, it is that timely reminder that property is all about being the long game. And ultimately, we are seeing tenure increase, which means that homeowners have reaped the benefits from multiple years of property price cycles. I think in today's environment, though, it's about being really realistic on what your price expectations are. We've got many capital cities seeing softer market conditions, some more in a buyer's market than others. And I think to achieve that timely sale, it really is about having an asking price that meets the market. And I think for buyers, when they're purchasing in a falling market, I think that we'll find that supply has increased, that power of negotiation has become much more prominent. But I think it's really important to focus on the long-term fundamentals of your purchase, not trying to be deterred by that short-term movement. I think what we've got at the moment is some buyers are being deterred because they ultimately don't want to buy today when the home could possibly be worth less tomorrow. But I think it is about focusing on long-term fundamentals and not being distracted by those short-term price fluctuations.
Domain's Chief of Economics and Research, Dr. Nicola Powell, with Stephanie Youssef.
Not long ago, just when you're about to take the lead against your friends in your favorite online race, then a game update starts downloading. The screen freezes. You imagine your friends overtake you one by one, probably laughing while doing so. Thankfully, with today's NBN speeds, updates are faster and more seamless, so races are decided without interruption on equal terms. The way we play online has changed. NBN has evolved alongside it with better speed built for how we choose to game. Visit nbn.com.au. Faster speeds applicable to FTTP and HFC technologies.
The men's race is over. Time for the women to crank up the gears. Same grit, same grind, only fiercer.
What an incredible performance.
Tour de France Femmes, stream live 1st to 9th of August on SBS and on demand.
Now to the Australian share market, which rose 126.5 points or 1.4% to 9,145.8 on Tuesday. All 11 sectors apart from utilities finished in the green. I spoke to Clive Mogutsu, senior strategist with State Street Investment Management, for his take.
Last week, we saw a number of key central banks holding the line. So we saw the BOJ, the Fed, and the Bank of England all holding rates and not really focus too much on the pickup in inflation. And all of that has allowed the refocus back onto corporate earnings, which are ongoing at the moment. Earnings season's been very, very strong. So that's allowed the market to focus on fundamentals again. And that's why we've seen that rally. So when we look at the blended estimates for S&P 500 earnings, they're about 48% higher for Q2, which is the highest level we've seen since 2021. So it's been very, very strong earnings results. And it's not just the AI-related names that have been delivering on earnings. It's pretty broad-based. We've seen financials perform really well. So I think we're just looking for a continuation of that really strong earnings season to come through from the rest of the names that are yet to report.
Regarding AI, what can we say about the level of concern or reassurance there's been about returns or profits from the huge CapEx spend so far?
Yeah, that's a healthy sign. It suggests that investors are becoming, you know, much more selective about what constitutes a positive result. It's not just all in on AI. It's really focused in on how some of these companies are translating that general AI demand into actual revenue and what kind of return on investment they're generating from this massive AI CapEx that we've seen over the last year or so. And I think it's to do, you know, obviously with the higher rate environment and the persistent inflation that we have has made investors really wary about how high they set that bar for seeing that return on investment.
On the topic of the US-Japan intervention in the yen, will this work? Will this be the thing that makes the Bank of Japan raise rates sooner rather than later? And how concerned are you about what's happening?
And the Japanese economy, in terms of the ability for Japan to generate a reasonable amount of inflation, growth has been pretty solid in Japan, and we've got, the confluence with the political leadership as well there, that's pretty committed to improving Japanese productivity, which would, in under normal circumstances, allow the Bank of Japan to normalize rates. You can see with this intervention that there is a little bit of impatience, you could say, from global partners wanting to see the Bank of Japan go a little bit quicker and normalize those rates. I don't think there's too much nervousness from markets. Obviously, high rates are not a great thing for equity markets. But I think overall, this is a great signal for markets that, the Bank of Japan will be likely to raise rates probably a little bit sooner than we had anticipated maybe a couple of weeks ago. So we definitely see at least one rate hike from the Bank of Japan in the next couple of months.
That was Clive Mogutsu, Senior Strategist with State Street Investment Management. And that wraps up the podcast for August the 4th. Give it a like, a review, and subscribe if you enjoy it. And don't forget, you can watch On the Money during the 6:30 weekday edition of SBS World News on SBS. Thanks for your company. I'm Raina Sarumpayat. Catch you another time.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.
New money seems to cop it from those who already have all the money.
This is new money.
IG Australia Pty Ltd. AFSL 515106. Crypto services by IG Digital Assets Australia Pty Ltd.